We're talking today with Terry Dietrich of the American Farmers and Ranchers. And Terry, let's talk about the year 2014 as we wind it down and we get ready to kick off the new year 2015. 2014 for agriculture here in our state, really kind of a mixed bag. I mean, if you're a wheat farmer and only wheat, you didn't have a good year. If you're involved with some spring crops, better. If you're involved with the cattle industry, if you had calves to sell, really good.
It has been an interesting year, and especially for us as a general farm organization, where, you know, if it's bad for grain, sometimes it's good for cattle and vice versa, and we have members on all sides. But we want to concentrate on doing everything we can to represent either side, both sides. And there's positives on both sides. There's a few negatives on each side. But we look at the positive side. We try to capitalize on it. I think as we look back in 2014, yes, grain prices were low. However, there were some really good spring crops, and some of them yielded enough to make up for the decrease in value from the year before. Cattle prices remain high, but they're high because they're in a short supply. And if you don't have cattle, you can't capitalize on a higher price. And then there are people expanding their herds, and they're expanding their herds having to pay high prices for breeding stock to do that. So the main thing we've got to continue to do is look ahead, be cautious, and be prepared. One of the things that is a carryover from last year, I think, into the next year will be the beef checkoff issue. And one of the reasons we've got high prices for beef is because of the dollars of the checkoff that are being invested in foreign markets. And as governments around the world and as economies around the world improve, they want more protein. And we've got to have people there to try to sell it to them and make sure it's our protein that we sell. And they have done a tremendous job for that. I think studies this year show $11.20 return for every dollar that's been invested over the history of the checkoff. So Secretary Vilsack threw us a curve trying to come in with a generic checkoff, a second checkoff. We're absolutely opposed to that. This has got to continue to be producer controlled, and it is now and has been, and they've done well with it. We don't need to have to change our strategy every time we have a different administration in the White House. Mm-hmm. I think and Congress did bail us out on that. They did not fund that. So we're free and clear there. On a state level, our policy would support a dollar checkoff, refundable, additional for the state of Oklahoma. And we need more money because that $1 that was passed about 1985 or 86 certainly does not buy a dollar's worth today, as we all can agree on. Waters of the United States, that's going to continue to be an issue. On a federal level, that's going to be the issue with EPA. On a state level, I think we're going to have a lot of issues. I think we're going to see a lot of concentrated effort on how can we get more from the water that we have. I commend the oil companies on finding ways to change and use gray water as they frack wells, or a treated water, different than fresh water. The city of Enid, for instance, is in the middle of a remodel for Koch Industries. I think there's a $1.747 million public-private partnership to redo their treatment plant. Mm-hmm. And today, the city of Enid uses 12 million gallons of fresh water a day. Koch Industries uses 6 million gallons per day. Well, when they get through with revamping this so that they begin to use non-potable water at the Koch Industries, they will only need 1 million gallons per day of fresh water. So we're going to see things like that happen all over. Our policy definitely does not allow us to support selling water out of state. And if it is utilized in the state and we have there's value there, it is Eastern Oklahoma's resource. And it is valuable, and I don't blame them for wanting to protect it. But our policy states that in the event any of their water is sold, that the proceeds go back to those within the watershed from whence it came. So that will be our position on that. But we certainly encourage conservation. We can do a lot more with what we have. And in serving on the Northwest Area Water Planning Council, it's been amazing to me to see what oil companies are doing, but also what it is costing cities to add treatments to comply with EPA regulations that they haven't had to do before, and they can't do it for the same price they're charging for water now. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, tongue-in-cheek, I guess I would have to say water is too cheap. That's the reason we waste it. And it is a an income stream to our metropolitan areas. They're getting the water much cheaper. It's with what they're selling it for, they're making money. Mm-hmm. However, it's going to cost them more to process it, so I think we're going to see that passed on to consumers.
Right. Let's talk about legislative activities as far as anything that really sticks out in your mind from what the legislature did in 2014 that is now starting to affect us here is, new laws, regulations, rules.
Well, I think one of the things that really is unfinished business from 2014 is the Freedom to Farm legislation that did not pass. And it's not that it was a bad idea. It was that we probably had not thought it through as far as we needed to. For instance, a couple of years or so ago, the castor bean was a product that was being promoted in Oklahoma. And if we had allowed that to be produced and transported, et cetera, it would have caused a quarantine on other crops from Oklahoma because we just could not stand to have any of that wind up in a mixed load. So the right to farm as it was written last year would have kept us from being able to stop that production. So we have to rewrite it. We have to rewrite it with reason. It is a necessary thing to go forth with. We just need to really be careful how we write it.
New legislature that you're going to have to get new, get to know some new faces, new personalities, new leadership in a lot of cases. What do you see them doing out at the state capitol starting in February?
I see complete budget reviews with the depletion of income from the oil industry. There's really going to be a shortage of money at the state capitol. And, I've made a statement, we may appreciate fewer dollars at the pump, but we're going to have to start driving around more potholes and weak bridges, I think. And all agencies, I think, are going to have to take cutbacks, and we're all going to share that. And hopefully the oil industry will recover soon, and we'll be able to get back to a normal budget. But I think that's going to be the number one issue on anything that's considered at the state capitol this year.